continue with our meeting. Can everyone find a seat and collect their whatever they need to get done? Okay, our next item is the schedule change that we're going to switch with this afternoon, and that's Carlos Servan and Nancy Floral are going to tell us about their visit with Outlook Nebraska from last fall.
Okay, do we have the mic close by?
Yes.
Okay.
Hubert will deliver that.
Okay,
it's sitting on the table.
Oh, it's there? All right, we're ready then. Go ahead.
He's got the mic.
I wrote a short report of our visit to Outlook, Nebraska, and I believe it was mailed to all of you, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that I did. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to restate what is there, plus a few other details, and I will be glad to answer any questions as well as Nancy. We were there for about 2 hours, maybe more than that. We were not invited to take a tour. Maybe that was never the intention, but I was under the impression that we were going to. Again, I didn't ask them either that I want to get a tour, but I wasn't invited, so I didn't want to be impolite. We were invited to take a tour maybe in the future, and maybe we will do that in the future. We were not offered, or we didn't even ask to talk to any employees. We didn't think that was our role either. Most of the 2 hours that we talked about, or that Eric talked about, was reflected on the email that he also sent to Pearl, and she forwarded to you. And I don't recall right now all those points, but those were very much the points he mentioned to us. We started the conversation in a very polite and professional way. The conversation was that way throughout the meeting. The conversation started with the fact that the Commission for the Blind closed clients in a 28 status, which means unsuccessful when one of our clients decides or is placed there. The disagreement with them is that it shouldn't be unsuccessful because they pay above minimum wages, that the conditions are good and all of that. The disagreement is that we believe that as part of the federal law definition, RSA definition, in order for us to consider somebody is successful, they have to be in an integrated setting. Outlook believes that they are integrated, but for us, the fact that I believe it's 70 or maybe 80% of the direct labor has to be blind, to us, that's not integrated. So that's something that we both agree to disagree, I think. But we also emphasize the fact that we don't discourage people to work there. However, we feel compelled to express concerns that we hear, and that's what we do with any employer anyway. It's not directed into that particular employer. That's what we do with anybody as part of informed choice. But we also ask the clients, this is what we hear, but we also hear good comments. You know, we hear both sides. So we want the client to check that out too. And as long as we have a permission from former clients who are working there or any place else, we give that name to the clients in order for them to get better informed and make their decision. As an state agency for the blind, and we know, we believe to have high expectations, we don't gear our services to manual type of labor. We always talk about elevating the expectations and achieving the potential of blind clients. So when we talk to clients, and this is what we told Eric, right? We don't tell the clients blind people should be doing or should be concentrating on a specific type of labor just because they are blind. We don't do those things. If they want some kind of labor work, we will talk to them about the different options, including Outlook, and the fact that we close somebody successful or not, it's something internal. And that we also talked to Eric about the fact that when we send letters to clients saying that we are closing their case, we don't have to tell them they are in a 28 or unsuccessful. We are just going to tell them we are closing their case. And we talk to them about the kind of services we could provide if they want to come back. But that will help to alleviate some of the misunderstanding. They are, I think Nancy is going to be meeting with them to start working in some kind of, to improve some kind of services that they are trying to provide in the future. And we are willing to partner as long as we believe that we could and we are able to do. And again, that was the main part of it. Okay. I could get into most of the things that he was talking, but once again, that was in his email.
Okay. But my understanding about the successful versus unsuccessful closure aspect of things was that RSA had been contacted and their input was that it should be an unsuccessful closure because of the structure of Outlook Nebraska. So that's my is that correct, Pearl?
Yes.
That RSA had been consulted.
Yes. But the main, so yes, it's a technically a 28 unsuccessful rather than 26 successful, which we are graded on by the federal people, RSA. However, that's what Carlos is saying, that's internal. It's not really
right.
The employer's business, and it's okay, I think I'm... And it's also, I mean, we've talked about ways of kind of writing our letters so that we aren't telling a person, you're not a success. You know, they've got a job, it's something they chose to accept. So that's what we mean by it's internal. So technically for federal, yes, but we don't necessarily need to use that language.
Right, and I think that's a good idea to reword the letters so that it doesn't give an impression of something that really isn't true.
Yeah.
Right.
But again, I mean, that's an RSA ruling, and that's not something that's really up for any sort of interpretation or debate. So, I don't know. I guess...
Julie?
Yes.
Eric just walked into the room.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, other questions about anything that Carlos presented? Okay.
Can I just talk about the other project that we are working on with some service providers? There's individuals that have multiple disabilities that are in. It would be equivalent. Is ServiceLink still in Lincoln and Region 5? They provide services to individuals with developmental disabilities. And these individuals are oftentimes in a workshop working at a piece rate. And what we're trying to do is open the minds of employers about here's a whole population you're not considering. And so we're working with Mosaic and trying to contact VODEC, which are developmental disability service providers here in the Omaha area, to work with Outlook Nebraska to show individuals working in production areas in factory manufacturing and how that's possible. And then Mosaic has a kind of a production media department is what I was looking for, where they are going to kind of work, hopefully, this is all at the ground level, develop kind of some production showing where we can go out and market this to employers so that we can be out doing integrated employment, competitive employment, because this is a fairly large population and it's an underserved population. So it's just getting off the ground. We had some initial kind of conversations in December about that. The Mosaic had approached, I think, and I think Eric's here.
Yes.
Before about this, but they have a whole new line of products that they're starting to develop, and then they have a packaging division also. So where and what will be done with this to do the marketing is all in its infancy. So.
And Julie, I'd like to mention very quickly that before I get started, that back in, I believe, late December, early January, maybe, I think it was December, Mark Plutchak sent the American Council of the Blind in Nebraska an email, and the subject line was sensitivity training.
Oh, okay.
And had asked, where can we go to get sensitivity training materials? Of course, I had no idea, so I had to make some inquiries, and I got him the information he wanted. So what's being done with that? Maybe Eric can address in his comments as well. So that's all I have.
Okay. Yeah, and I did read that email about the sensitivity training.
Well, I know the commission, Kathy, I think you sent them some information, a copy of a video that was online that they could view that we had produced in the past.
Okay. Other questions for Nancy or Carlos? No? Okay. Nancy or Carlos, did you have anything else that you wanted to... We're still ahead of schedule.
I was just going to add, we also have some individuals working in their administrative offices. And one, I think, is in their mailing department, and Ben, and then
Ben and Katie.
Ben and Katie. And so they are successful closures, you know, because it's an integrated environment.
It's not part of a direct labor production.
So we do have other people, and they actually, I think, started out initially as kind of wages work sites and evolved into full-time or permanent employment.
Okay.
So.
Mm. One of the things that I also mentioned was that I got a lot of calls from employees there who are dissatisfied,
mm-hmm.
and I encourage them to talk to them, because as an state agency, all I can do is just listen and bring some concerns, but I can't fix things there. That has to come from within, and I express that to Eric too. You know, that's mm-hmm. something that he's aware of and is working on too. Yeah.
Well, definitely, and I think that's appropriate on a lot of levels. I mean, from a standpoint of truly working with clients to make them, you know, independent and an employee. I mean, that's just part of how things work. Is, you know, if you have a difficulty at work, you go to your supervisor. You know, you need to be doing that. I mean, it's not just out; it's wherever you work. That's how it.
Yeah, there are always mm-hmm. procedures for everything. So.
Yes, love the procedures.
So.
Questions, comments from you guys? Anything? Okay. All right. Well, then we will move on. Did Carlos or Nancy, did you have anything else to add? Okay.
I don't.
All right. Thank you very much. It is 10:30, and we will move on to our next item, which is the second item that switched from this afternoon, which is a report from Outlook Nebraska. And Eric is here, so if you would like to tell us about Outlook Nebraska, that would be fabulous.
Wait until you get the microphone.
The microphone.
Yeah, it's going to be in stereo now, Eric, so.
Wonderful.
I'm going to head up over here to an open space.
That sounds good. Eric, just so you know, the microphone's not public address, it's for the tape.
Understood. I've listened to a few of the meetings where you asked.
Excellent. Okay.
Clear that up. So, I'm sure it's okay if I stand.
That's fine. Whatever you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rather than sitting, I'm... That way, if I fidget, I can do it with my feet. So, well, first of all, I just want to, you know, thank...
It is a close proximity mic.
Oh, it is a close proximity mic. Okay. I'll thank you again for allowing me to come to the meeting today. Again, I'm Eric Stukrath, the Executive Director of Outlook Nebraska. And I've been in that role actually since 2001. Started in an interim role, and in November of 2004, actually moved into a permanent role for the organization. So, been around long enough to see our organization go through some peaks, some valleys, and we're back up on another peak. So it's a good time to to be a part of Outlook Nebraska, and I'm really proud to be able to kind of stand up today, talk about a lot of the good things that are going on, address a few of the challenges that we are looking at for 2010, and moving forward. So most of those being growing pains. So I'd rather have growing pains than shrinking pains, and any day. But anyway, Julie, I wanted to express to you as well. I was very thrilled to get the email from you stating that I would have some time today to be at the meeting, something that I've been working to figure out how Outlook Nebraska continues to work closer with NCBVI. And I know from talking with Carlos and Nancy and Robert and others at the commission that that you guys are thinking the same. So I was very happy to see that, and would welcome the opportunity anytime. So please let me know in the future when there are opportunities. So
we'll do that. Thank you for coming.
You bet. Let me take a minute just to kind of reflect on what is happening right now at Outlook Nebraska. We have come off one of the most prosperous years that we've ever had as an organization. We grew $4.1 million in revenues. You might kind of look at that and say, wow, they had $4.1 million more dollars in their account. Well, it doesn't quite work like that. It means that we not only made more money on the front end, we also spent more on the back end as well in order to make that money. So so it didn't, it's not a dollar for dollar profit side, but we did profit very well, which means that we have an opportunity to reinvest in a number of programs, a number of initiatives that we have been talking about for many years, some since 2001, and maybe even before 2001. But we're able to realize a number of things that just weren't possible before. I'm not going to go through a long history and of what Outlook Nebraska has done since that point. But what I am going to do is talk about from February 1, 2008 to today. And February 1, 2008, Outlook really became a true company. We did not have any subcontracting relationships. We had our own equipment. We had our own facility. Our employees could call someplace home while they were at work. And that change was great. It was probably the it was a fun day, February 1st of 2008. Then during that year, we needed to break in used equipment, which I don't know how many of you have, from a manufacturing standpoint, if you've ever been in a facility that is struggling with used equipment versus new equipment and the support systems and all the stuff that comes with new. But 2008 was a struggle, to say the least, in the production side of our business. For those of you that don't know, we produce tissue and towels and market them to the federal government. So in order to do that, we need to have a facility and a workforce that is able to excel. So fast forward to October of 2008, and we made some product line changes. We adapted to a few need changes that we had to make, and we made our first positive dollar at the end of October. So going from October to November, we actually started to pull what we all call profit. We have not had a non-profitable month since October of 2008. Now, when you have profitability and when you are moving forward in productivity, you can make investments into your organization. And that's exactly what we have been doing. January of 2009, we produced about 10,000 or 11,000 cases. Okay? Sounds like a lot. Okay? You take that times 80 rolls, and we did nearly 1 million rolls of toilet tissue that month. At the end of January, we put in one new machine that replaced two old machines. February was 22,000 cases. Didn't take too long to figure out that's more than double what we did in January. Fast forward to June of 09. We installed another wrapper. Each one of the wrappers about a $220,000 investment. So about $450,000, just shy of $450,000 with installation and everything that we invested into the facility. We moved from the 22 to 24,000 range to 35, 37. Then October hit. October, November, December, we did between 43 and 45,000 cases each month. So 11,000 in January, 44,000 roughly from an average during the last quarter of the year. It was a phenomenal effort that took place, not only in learning the facility, but for everyone to internalize the fact that they had grown into the organization that we had hoped we were going to be on February 1 of 08, but it takes a little time. So now moving forward into 2010, we've got a number of positions that are going to be opening up. I've been talking about kind of an executive assistant for our management staff for a few months now. We've gotten to the point to where we're going to be doing some interviews for that position. We have a education and training center that is stocked with computers, JAWS, Zoom text, I lost that word for a second, on it, and we're also looking at other adaptive technologies. We're going to spend between $40,000 and $50,000 alone just on additional adaptive technologies just as a showcase, just as examples of things that, that employees may use or examples of technologies they may want to use in their homes. But we want to have them at their fingertips so they can try them, utilize them for a little bit, and figure out how to make them most useful. So, some of the other things that we're doing is we're looking at hopefully by June investing another $3.5 million in replacing two of our the revenue process starts, our rewinders. But what we want to do is we want to take a couple old machines and replace them with one big, fast new one. And that means a lot. That for us, that means a lot of things, not just another debt payment, but it also means an opportunity to take a machine and adapt it to the needs of someone who is blind or has low vision. We've got a current line of equipment that was just dropped on our floor between Christmas and New Year's. It was a $1.3 million machine, and that machine is actually being outfitted right now with a PC which talks to a PLC. A PLC is like the computer in your car. Something I don't understand. If any of you guys are car guys, you probably know a lot more than I do about it. But that computer in that car does a lot of things that you don't even think about. You know, analyzing wheel slip and brakes and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of systems. Well, our machines are very similar to that. Our old ones, though, don't have that PLC. They're simply circuitry, brakes, camshafts, very mechanical. It's pretty hard to put talking software or any kind of adaptive software on something. It'd be like taking an ordinary bicycle and making it speak to you. It just doesn't work very well. So these new lines are allowing us to continue to adapt those machines. Some of you may know we adapted the wrappers that I talked about that really unleashed our production capacity. We were able to put a talking software on that actually allowed us to cross-train. I believe we're 12 or 13 people have now cross-trained on that line, and they're able to do a little bit of job sharing, a little bit of rotation. Breaks the monotony of doing the same thing day in, day out. And the machine actually tells them when there's something wrong, so they can go fix that problem and move on.
Question.
Yeah.
You said the machine says when there is something wrong.
Correct.
Does it speaks out or?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yep, through a speaker system. Okay. I was explaining a PC that reaches into the PLC, that brains of the machine. What they did is they actually tied a WAV file into a certain alarm. So an alarm goes off, and it's, you know, like a nerve ending. It tugs on it a little bit, and it says, hey, read this wave file. So it might say, in feed, clutch out. Well, then a person knows they got to go to the in feed. They got to open it up. They got to find the roll that's stuck in there. They got to replace it, put another roll in, make sure that the clutch is popped back into place, hit the reset button, and away the machine goes. So they're able to do all of that by simply having that machine speak to them and tell them that that it had an issue. There's somewhere around 200 total alarms on the machine, so it takes a little time to get used to it. It takes a little training, but a lot of people have had a lot of fun learning those machines. And I can tell you that the new machines versus the last machines, or the old machines that we had, which are still in a corner of our building, there's still some people there that do little dances around them, thinking that they're haunted or something because of the changes that came about just by replacing those machines. So they're definitely understanding that they have the potential to operate equipment, something that was very difficult in the past, and something that these outside companies, we couldn't influence them enough to get them to invest some time into helping us develop this software, because we don't have the horsepower internally to do the development. We don't have the research and development team or the engineering staff to figure these things out. We need their help. So that really, it turned greatly when in June of 09, when they were able to say, hey, the light bulb finally came on and this might be useful. And you know what? They were also finding that they're coming back and saying that it might be useful in other companies as well. Because there could be a guy on a forklift all the way across the building that's now alerted when his machine has gone down. So those companies that are trying to drive labor out of a process can now potentially do it because of something that we had originally asked for, to simply provide someone who's blind or visually impaired with an opportunity to do more. So it's kind of rewarding to see the progress that these companies are making too, and we're finding that what they're doing in the back end is, because they are going to be able to use this technology, they may reimburse us for some of the research and development time that we're paying for, which is tens upon tens of thousands of dollars. By the end of this year, we'll spend we're budgeted to spend $214,000 on research and development through engineering and technological advance. So it's a budget item that we couldn't add in the 2009 budget because we didn't have the money. So 2010, we're going to continue to adapt equipment. We have a stack of applicants that continues to grow with the help of the commission, the Iowa Department for the Blind, the Lions Clubs. We're finding that the referrals are continuing to pour in faster and faster. So as there's more awareness of Outlook Nebraska, I think we'll continue to see more and more applicants. One last thing before I kind of turn it over to any questions or anything like that. Carlos and Nancy had met with me, I want to say was it December, Carlos, or was it? Must have been, yeah, it was in December, I believe, when you guys visited too. Yeah. And we had talked about trying to work with the packaging division and the multiply disabled individuals that might be blind and have some other disability that is that they're dealing with. And some of the most challenging parts to make that work is simply the economics. As we learn more about the businesses that we can get people employed in, we will be able to put a budget and a well-laid plan in front of that. But those things do take time. What we've found in some of our packaging clients that actually utilize us to do some sort of service for them, we found that in the last couple years, they've pulled a lot of that back in-house, as a lot of companies have. So our volume in that service has dropped considerably. And so we have not been able to keep the people employed in that particular business. Now, we're working with a number of different companies that we might be able to kind of revitalize that. But let me explain to you one of the challenges, and maybe you all will have an idea for us. Lynn Roberts is one of these companies, and Lynn Roberts sells everything from knickknacks to reading glasses to and sunglasses, all kinds of stuff. So what we might do for them is we might do sorting, we might do labeling, we might do repackaging, we might do various things. But we need to turn it around in 24 hours, and we need to turn around a high volume. So our challenge is hiring a group of people, telling them to sit at home and wait for our phone call, and please be at work in an hour after you get that call, because tomorrow we have to be done. So, you guys can about imagine that you've got transportation issues. Moby isn't going to pick you up at the drop of a hat.
Nope.
I don't know about you, but I don't just sit and wait for the phone to ring at any given time with hopes that somebody's going to invite me over for dinner that night. If I don't have plans, I better be making my own, right? So people go on with their lives. And so what we have is a very tough nut to crack in building an economy of scale large enough to keep people employed in the middle of these lulls, but then also respond when these kind of surging demands come knocking. So we've got some challenges to try to overcome in making this happen. But the key for us is to find more businesses that could rely on our services. The reason I say could is because they're not coming to us and saying we need your services. We've got to find them. We've got to articulate to them why we are a good group of people to work with. And then we've got to make the plan work. We've got to make it make a buck more than what we spent. Because if it doesn't do that, it's not sustainable and it probably isn't going to last. I know you guys have worked with budget cuts and all kinds of things at the state level. And if it weren't for a limited budget, your list of items that you would complete in a year are probably a lot longer than what you can actually do. And we're in no different state. We have no guaranteed funding outside of the sale of our goods. So we must be good at that first, because that's the lifeline. I don't have anything paying my salary or any of the other managers or any of the other employees. No donorship, no donations, nothing like that to cover our administrative budget. Every roll of toilet tissue we sell allows us to be employed another day. And so that's why that will always be until we have another item like that that can be sustainable, that we will have to put a lot of focus on. So I could probably go on for hours and hours, but I know you guys don't want to listen to me for too long. Does anybody have any particular questions or anything that you'd like to bring up?
I don't have any. Anyone? Do you guys have a question?
Carlos.
Yes. Go ahead.
Eric, when we visited, I think one of the questions I asked you or we were talking about was the number of hours that the folks in production work, and some of them were part-time because of their social security benefits, and they didn't want to work more hours than part-time, correct?
They have income limitations that they manage, yeah.
Right. How much do they make an hour, an average one?
Our entry-level wage is $9 an hour on the production floor at the packaging side. Machine operators or rewinding operators could be anywhere from $11 to $13, depending on their skill sets and their experience level. And then team leads are $15 to $17 an hour.
But the ones who are making $9 to $10 an hour, do you have several of those who want to work only part-time because of their social security benefit?
Well, we see a couple things. We see that either there's two different mentalities. Some want to work all that they can. They value getting out of the house and being a part of the organization. So they would probably work for $2 an hour just so they could do it. And then there are others that will. There are others that maximize their hourly wage, so that way they hit their limit quicker, so they don't have to work as many hours. So we deal with those two different dynamics. We have some people that when we offer a pay raise, will say, I can't take it this year because Social Security didn't extend the SSDI, the income limits. So I need to stay where I'm at. So there's a couple different mentalities that come into play.
And that's one of the things that I would like to maybe visit with you when we come next time. Because we work with clients in the field, and if somebody makes $10, $11 an hour with a work incentive, they can easily work full-time. And maybe they need, I'm very good on explaining those work incentives, and I would be willing to talk to your folks about that too.
To help them understand work-related expenses and how to maximize earnings and count everything that they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mark does a good job of that as well, and he will always welcome more assistance in that, in working one-on-one with everybody. We've got guys that drive from Nebraska City every day and Fremont, and you know those guys have tons of mileage. They have plenty of opportunity to ride it off. But then we got some guys that ride the bus, and you know they may be a 10-minute bus ride from the facility that have a lot harder time finding those work-related expenses.
But
so
I know how. So that's why I'm
More than welcome. That's why I say Mark would be the lead on that, to actually finding and the counseling that he's kind of done to help them find or help them identify different expenses. And so
give me a call.
Most definitely. I'll do that. One thing I wanted to mention real quick too, tomorrow actually is the exact day of our 10-year anniversary of Outlook Nebraska. So we are proud to still be around. We're still young, relatively, in the business world, but we are going to be doing a number of public relations types of events during 2010 in order to elevate the awareness of our business. And for one primary reason, we want to turn that into a capital campaign. I had said that administrative budgets and all that kind of stuff are covered through the sale of goods, but we have a pretty strong vision on the growth of ONI, and what we want to accomplish is solidifying the building that we're currently in, either through a purchase or a longer-term lease, potentially buying 11 acres behind us and putting up a building. We've got a lot of thought that's going into how do we take Outlook Nebraska and really solidify the base. So the relationship with the commission is big. In doing that, just from from finding employees, from finding people that are willing to have a job, but to also just, Carlos, like you had just mentioned, to work together to find ways in which we can maximize somebody's potential. 2010, we really hope to kind of put that under bright lights and let the Omaha community and Nebraska and some of the other surrounding states that we draw employees from and organizations that we work with and get them involved a little bit more in ONI.
Eric, do you know what, and maybe you don't know, but do you know what Mark has done with the sensitivity training information I forwarded to him?
Not specifically on what you forwarded. I know as an organization we've done a program called Leaders at All Levels that was sponsored by National Industries for the Blind. And Leaders at All Levels is exactly what it says. It's trying to help people understand that in any role you need to be a leader. You need to be a lead communicator. You need to be understanding. You need to both give and take, constructive feedback and criticisms and to become a better employee, excuse me. So there are a lot of little things like that that we've been focusing on and follow-up materials. I know there's some modules that we are planning to do in 2010, but I know he's looking for more specific things that we can, on a monthly basis, maybe put some articles out to people. To be able to pass around and just to kind of from a continuing education standpoint to be able to push out there. So,
all right. Questions from the board?
Any questions?
No questions.
Okay.
This is too easy. I thought I was going to have to, sweat a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we have public comment next, so if you would stick around for
most
that,
definitely.
Because there may be questions from the public.
Okay.
Okay, well, we will move on to our next segment, which is public comment. So,
excuse me,
yes.
Julie, we'll just keep the microphone on, and then we'll Hubert can take it to if anybody wants it.
Okay, so I will open it up to questions, comments. It can be for Eric in regard to Outlook Nebraska or any other topic that you would like to discuss. So.
Okay, I have a question. My name is Janice Compton. This is for Eric. Okay. And my question is, it sounds like ONI is planning on expansion as part of its long-term goals. Now, are you looking into doing diversification of product or just expanding on the amount of the current product that you're marketing at this time?
Both, actually.
Excuse me, Eric.
I will.
We are looking at both. The line of equipment that I had mentioned that we dropped down between Christmas and New Year's diversifies our current product line to not only regular roll toilet tissue, but also to an industrial line of products that caters to most of our customers' needs, so dispensable roll towels and things like that. So we're trying to really solidify that base that from a business model that we have that we know can be very successful and try to diversify it to a point to where we can add more employment and profitability so that we can be more sustainable. So. And then on the other end, with the packaging things that we're looking at doing is a great diversification away from paper. And then we're also looking at any sort of development. In 2010, I had mentioned $214,000 spent on project development and identifying new opportunities for adaptive aids and things of that sort. Project development and product development are center stage there. So we need more activities to remain sustainable that bring in a revenue and can be viable on the street or in the government markets, wherever that may be. So most definitely, diversification is a necessity for us.
Thank you. More questions? I'm really not used to this. I'm used to like a lineup of.
Would you like, do you want me to read that statement then?
If you would like to do that, okay. That'd be fine. That would be appropriate.
We received a statement in the email last night from the president of the National Federation of the Blind in Nebraska, and she just asked that it be read today. So it is as follows. As president of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, the oldest and largest group of blind in the state, speaking for ourselves, I write to you to express continued concern about Outlook Nebraska Incorporated. The National Federation of the Blind in Nebraska filed an EEOC charge on behalf of the blind workers, which is still being investigated. We do not feel that there is any reason to withdraw the charge at this time. Additionally, since filing this charge, another employee has been let go, and we feel that action represented relation for the employee's advocacy for himself and others. I urge you to keep these things in mind when making any decisions affecting Outlook Nebraska and any placement of clients at that entity. I thank you for your time and attention. Sincerely, Amy Burrish, President, National Federation of the Blind in Nebraska.
I read that email this morning. And as I say, I don't usually check email on Saturday morning at 6 a.m. And when I read that, I got mad. Of course, Amy's entitled to, you know, I have no problem with that. And maybe I misinterpreted the email. But I'd like to know how filing an EEOC concern, how that can be linked to the assumption that an employee was dismissed because he stood up for him or herself based on that concern.
No, it's a separate issue.
That's not the way I interpreted it. I mean, I could have interpreted it incorrectly.
I think you did.
And maybe it should have been written more clearly, but that's how I interpreted it. I mean, if we're going to make the assertion that somebody standing up for themselves, is a reason for being let go because of the EEOC concern, I'd like to see some justification and some proof in that regard.
Well, and that will be dealt with through the formal process. That's not. Okay, just to clarify for everyone, the statement that Mike Hansen just read on behalf of the NFB as the National Federation of Blind, which is a consumer group, which is not the Commission for the Blind. That's a separate organization. So what they choose to do is their business.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing that's not anything to do with us. So just to clear that up for people that...
Hold on. Mark has a...
Yes. Wait for the
microphone. Say your name.
Hi, this is Mark. Excuse me, Mark Bolger from Omaha. And I guess I have a couple of questions and comments. I'll try to keep them cool. Is it the commission's board's policy that they will accept letters in the future from anybody and it will be read at a board meeting?
That is a question for Kathy. Can we do that?
If public are not able to attend a meeting because of conflict or schedule or whatever, and if there's an item on the agenda that they would like to make a comment under the public comment section, they are willing to submit their comment in writing, and it can be read if they so request. Whatever they put submit in writing will become part of the record.
Correct.
And it will be, you know, part of the minutes. And
then I guess the second is more of a comment. I was very pleased on the report that Carlos and Nancy had gave, indicating a positive attitude and willingness to work and serve their clients. So I appreciate that, and I was enthused by what Eric had indicated with Outlook Nebraska, and I guess I'm concerned with the letter that Mike had read, and I was wondering, since the NFB is the largest consumer group in Nebraska, is anyone here that can provide clarification to that letter that the state president had wrote, if there are such questions?
Mike Hansen is the NFB representative.
I'll try to answer your questions with this clarification that if you're asking a specific question about the actual charges that are being filed involving the lawyers and so on, that is not, I don't have access to that information. It is for reasons of confidentiality for the people who are involved as the employees in the organization, that's not publicly been divulged to members or anything like that, just to protect them. And
is that because you can't or you don't want to? Or I mean, is it possible to file the complaint on the website since this is now a matter of public reference?
You're asking legal questions. I'm not a lawyer. I'm saying that within our organization, that information has not been divulged to our general membership. It's been discussed at a very, when I say a high level, I'm not meaning a high level of like officers. I'm meaning that just it's been told to our membership that we are involved in this dispute at this time, but the specific details have not been discussed or divulged because of a concern for privacy. And so now, is there a legal reason for that? I don't know the answer to that, but that is the reason why that has been told to us why those details have not been released.
This is Daryl Walla, and I try to be objective on these things. And yes, I am an NFB member, but however, I feel extremely uncomfortable with this letter. You know, I don't check email at 6 in the morning.
I don't either.
It took me completely by surprise. Are we going to have a plethora of letters coming at us now? This should have been delivered by someone representing the NFB.
Thank you.
When Carlos and Nancy gave their report, it was very positive, and then this is going to, you know, thrown at us, and I really find it repugnant.
And to send it at the 11th hour really honked me off.
Madam Chairman.
Well, let's go with Pearl.
Thank you. I just would like to comment that when we open for public comment, the verbal things people say are fresh too. We don't know what Janice is going to ask or, you know. Yeah. So in the spirit of public comment, I think that it's that those concerns are not an issue.
I guess and I just felt when Jeff was here and he gave, you know, at the last meeting and he gave it in person, I felt much comfortable with that.
Right, but the thing is that the Open Meeting Act that Kathy is the most knowledgeable about allows for written comments. Right. So that's, in my opinion, that's that.
And Mark, I suppose you can get a copy of the EEOC concern act if you're complaint if you're so inclined. That is public record.
Well, I guess, and I just heard so many positive things today, and then. I heard a claim that I would like to hear more information about, but I can't, since this is public, I can't even ask the person that wrote the letter for additional clarification. Then I hear it's a legal matter that we can't really talk about.
I would think that you could, because Amy Burish would be...
She'd be happy to...
To address any concerns that you have.
Well, can I ask, is there, other than Mike, is there anybody else here from the NFB that can maybe comment on it? Or in this case, Mike, are you speaking for Amy Burish in this?
I am not speaking for her, but I will speak on behalf of the NFB. I think I'm happy to do that as being their designee on the Board of Commissioners. But I think I've already addressed your question the best I can, and that we don't have the fine details to divulge just due to concerns of privacy. Something that is publicly available, I encourage you to go and seek it out if you'd like to. If you'd like to speak to Amy directly, feel free to. We're happy to give you the contact information to get a hold of her or have her contact you, and you could ask her directly about it.
Well, I don't want to turn this into a verbal discussion, but I guess I'm wondering if this was the appropriate forum for such a letter.
I think all the letter is saying it. There's two things that's being said here, and this is just being an NFB member speaking. It's just telling us two things. One, and just asking us to remember them. One of them, we all knew already that the NFB filed this charge, and it's been in existence for, and there's been this legal situation with the NFB and Outlook Nebraska for quite some time. That's nothing new. It's just reminding us about that, reminding us to keep it, have that in the back of our head, and then just bringing to our attention that an employee has recently been let go from Outlook Nebraska, and it is of their belief, it is of the NFB's belief that it was due to, at least in part, his involvement with that with those legal matters.
Can Eric address that without going into?
Could we get to?
I would love to address that. This is what I was expecting.
Go.
Okay. Hold up. Carlos has been wanting to speak for a few minutes now, so I'd like to go in order of people.
I just want to clarify. My name was mentioned twice, and I take a very positive report. What I said was that the conversation and the meeting was positive, but I also mentioned that I didn't have access to get a tour.
Correct.
And I didn't have access to talk to any of the members there. And I also say, and I got a lot of calls with complaints that I told Eric. And to me, that's not positive, so I just want to clarify that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you were here to clearly make that statement, and I was okay with that. I mean, I was consistent. I thought at their last meeting it was inappropriate when Outlook took public time to do their spiel, and now we come back here and we're throwing darts at them, and I think Eric should certainly have a chance to
I'm going to make the official decision that public comment time is public comment time, and people can make whatever public comments that they would like to make. I'm not going to censor that. That's that's that. Okay, we'll move to Eric.
All right. Well, this is one of these things that we've been dealing with for about 2 years now, back up to February 1, 2008, starting the new facility. To directly address this, yes, I am not an attorney either. And the legal side of this, I didn't bring an attorney today, so I figured that might look a bit wrong. So anyway, to address the concerns that the NFB has, we are absolutely more than willing at the drop of a hat to open our doors 100% to anyone to come in. We have extended many invitations to Amy, and I have not received one email response. So if Amy listens to this, I would please like her to come to Outlook Nebraska to see firsthand and witness firsthand the numbers of people that are very satisfied with their employment. We will never satisfy 100% of the people 100% of the time. I realize this. I am not 100% satisfied 100% of the time, and I run the company. There are days that that you've got to face and move on. The specifics about the individual that was let go. This individual made a mistake, and they were let go because of it. That's about all I can tell you. They made a serious mistake. They were trusted, and they stepped over the lines. So it has no way, it is in no way tied to this. This person has been a very vocal person. I've met with this individual numerous times face to face. And, you know, he's free to do whatever he so chooses as far as NEOC or EEOC complaints that he may have. And Outlook will defend those. I will defend the integrity of the organization day in and day out. Nobody in that facility is 100% perfect. But I can tell you that every hour we strive to do what we can to advance our mission, which is to enhance the quality of life of people who are blind. And again, not everybody is willing to accept that. They're not willing to accept the fact that they need to be accountable at 7 o'clock versus 7:30. That it's okay to come in. We need to set rules, and we need to try to follow them. It doesn't mean that there's a, you know, simply rigid, absolute type of policy. But I think in a workplace, we all expect to be held accountable to what we're hired to do. And that's what I can promise to the employees, that they will continue to be held accountable, just like I will be continued to be held accountable to drive the company in a direction that allows them to get a paycheck every 2 weeks. That's what they're choosing to do. They're choosing to work. Any blind person that is willing to work will have a home at Outlook Nebraska, period. If we have a bunch of people that don't have enough work to do, we will go out and find new business for them to be involved in. I'd want nothing more than a group of people standing there waiting and helping us find new opportunities to employ them. Because you guys struggle the same way that we do in getting other businesses to open their minds and employ. We're in this, the NCBVI, the NFB, we're all in this for the same reasons. Not just to advocate, but to act. So that's, I firmly stand behind what Outlook Nebraska is, what it is becoming, and the solid growth that we've had. And everyone needs to come in and see both sides of that story, because only one is being heard, okay, and only one is being listened to.
Mark, I would encourage you to talk to Amy if she will return your phone call, and if not, go to the chain of command. If she doesn't, go to the vice president, so on.
So I just appreciate the opportunity to comment, and thank you.
There's no public comment.
Madam President.
Okay, Nancy Altman.
I just wanted to clarify something, because the commission board was very grateful that you met with us. Timeline is escaped me when we were there.
March, I think.
March.
A year ago.
At any rate, and I think it's a good idea, you know, when people, employees that work there, have the opportunity to discuss complaints with you, because sometimes there are complaints that are legitimate, and then sometimes there are complaints that can be resolved from a misunderstanding or whatever. But you did indicate the move that you made, that there were some safety issues for a while, and OSHA did come in and point out a few things. I think that's all commendable. You correct those things and whatever. But sometimes complaints are, correct. There are problems and stuff. As far as this litigation is concerned, that will be handled on whatever, and a decision will be made, one way or the other. But, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to talk with Carlos and Nancy, that you were willing to talk to us, and that we keep an open dialogue. As far as I really think it's more appropriate for you to talk to Carlos and Nancy, because they're more closely involved with placing of clients and so forth. But we appreciated the chance, and I would just personally like to thank you for coming today and sharing your ideas with us. But the complaint door should always remain open, because that's how things get solved before they become a huge problem and so forth. So, but I personally do appreciate you coming today.
Oh yeah,
okay. Dr. Van Zandt.
Howard has something to.
I just wanted to say that there's another public.
Howard.
Oh,
here.
Okay. I was going to say back in the
Howard
to my
Compton.
Left in the corner. Yeah.
I'd like to go on record with this board. Is saying that I too have grave concerns about an outside organization coming and trying to use its influence with you, the board, without specific facts and reasons of why you want that influence extended upon the board. We in ACBN have the same right that you do, but I pray that none of us on our board or our membership would ever write this board without facts and without reason, and attempt to influence you in making a positive or a negative decision against anyone.
Could I address that, Julie?
Sure.
Without facts or reason, at the time that I was chairman of the board, I received calls from several people who had concerns, who had specific things that they told me. Like I had stated before, I think it's more the field operators, Carlos, Nancy, other people, Robert, whoever it gets involved with that. However, when concerns are brought to this board, that's part of what this board does, is receive complaints and to make sure that everything is functioning correctly at the commission, from the management on down. And so that is why we initially did it. But there were facts. I was asked to keep them personal, but I can assure you that I received complaints and specific things that were of concern. Some of those were handled, and I can say, like the OSHA coming in and the safety issues. And as Eric explained, part of that was from the move, but we are always concerned. I would be concerned with, safety issues, whether it doesn't matter to me, sighted, unsighted, whatever level, safety is safety. Some of those questions were answered from that. But from what I know, there definitely were facts and reasons why things were being brought to the board. And that is part of our function, to make sure that everything is that, for example, the commission wasn't just saying, oh, this is a good place, we'll just put every blind person, no matter if they're college material or whatever they are. And there's nothing wrong with the factory. I don't mean it in that respect. But I mean the kind of job that somebody really would like to do, as opposed to let's just, get them into a job type thing. And I would be concerned with, whether they are sighted, unsighted, whatever. Sometimes kids from high school are given the wrong advice as to where they should go with their employment to, or if they should go on with schooling. But I can assure you there were facts and reasons there, and which was why we made the decision to go talk to Eric, take the tour of the building, and so forth.
And I would welcome and invite anyone, you know, and including the ACB, to bring whatever relevant information you feel is important to blind Nebraskans to the board. I said it before, I will not censor public comments or public input. Whether or not that is an influence is a whole other discussion.
The problem I have is, isn't that making anybody who saw the email this morning biased before they come in? Shouldn't public comment be just that, that the board member gets to listen for something? You know, it seems to me, and maybe the statute's right, but maybe it ought to be changed. I mean, maybe we ought to have a section in board meetings for correspondence. It just seems like if I had read that email, it might have put me in a position of bias before Eric. Yeah.
I was defensive when I came here, and I figured let it go. And I let it go. You know,
I just have a real problem with it, but if the law is the law, it's the law. And I just, but.
Well, Madam President, we can review the rules in between this meeting and the next meeting, but if we'll go with whatever you know.
Sure.
Madam President, yes. My objection to the letter is this, that this organization that wrote the letter is attempting to sway you one way or another. It doesn't matter which way. I'm just saying they're asking you to consider this letter in your future deliberations about this this entity.
Definitely,
without
I agree.
Without any explanation of reason or facts.
I'm not opposed.
No, wait a minute. Let me finish, please. I am not opposed to any organization writing your board. But I believe that they should indicate reason and fact when they ask you to consider this in your future deliberations when it comes to Outlook Nebraska.
I understand what you're saying. My point of view is that anyone can bring whatever concern they want to the board. We're all intelligent people. We're going to look at that and weigh to ourselves, is this just somebody, you know, with their own opinions? Are there facts? Definitely, I can tell you, when there are facts and there are figures and there are surveys and there's research and there are statistics, that means a lot more to me. But I'm not going to automatically discount someone's opinion because it's only their opinion. They're still free to bring that to the board.
Madam President?
Yes.
Madam President, may I ask you a question?
We'll go Nancy Altman and then Glenn. Okay.
I think we were very fair. We heard from Amy Burrish. We have heard from other people on the board. We have heard from Eric. We have heard from Carlos and Nancy, and they all brought their points of view. So I really feel like we are being fair, and as Julie says, you know, that's part of what we're about, concerns for blind people, that they are getting a fair shake, that they're not being discounted simply because they're blind and they may be a perfect fit for whatever job it is or going to school or whatever. That's part of what we do. Part of it is to make sure the commission is doing the very best job that they can do. And so we are going to hear, as we did today, all sides. Eric was able to give some comments on some of the things that Amy said. I think we're being totally fair.
It's Glenna?
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to know one question, kind of a two-part question, I guess. Was this person that was fired, was he or she placed by the commission? And the reason I'm asking that is, you as a board setting up there are to govern the commission, not any organization, not any person that had nothing to do with the commission. So was this person placed at Nebraska Outlook by the commission?
We don't know who that person is.
I don't know, and I don't know if Eric
can respond.
Okay. Otherwise, it has no bearing on it, because you as a board, you five members, are governing the commission.
Exactly.
Not people out here being employed.
Yes.
Right.
You are but covering the commission, and you should only do the business with the commission, not an employer or employee.
Exactly.
Unless yes. the commission was involved in it.
Okay, Eric, you were going to respond to that.
Okay, Eric Stukrath again. You know my voice by now, right? Well, first of all, originally this person may have been hired after a visit with a counselor. I can't recall. This person has been employed a couple of different times. I do know the most recent employment that he had, we reached out and contacted him and asked him to come back for the packaging division. So when we grew, we sought this individual out to come back. And in fact, our team leader for this division, who was promoted, who, by the way, is blind, had asked specifically to reach out to this person to help his division become more successful. So this person, I don't, in this particular instance, would not have been placed. We asked him back. As far as Nancy's comment, I agree. I think you guys are a governing body, and you need to govern through the facts, and you need to take all sides. So I'm in complete agreeance with the statement that you made, Nancy. I also agree with, I forget your first
Howard
name,
Compton.
With Howard Compton, in the fact that I do feel that the consumer groups, I shouldn't say groups because I don't know enough about the ACB, but I do know, I feel that the NFB does a much more vocal job. They do speak out much more than the other groups, and rightfully so. But I do know that the comments that come from the NFB do need to be more truthful. I know in responding specifically to the EEOC complaint that was first lodged with the Nebraska EOC and then moved to the Kansas City office of the EEOC has many mistruths in there. And mistruths are very easy to respond to.
Yeah.
I don't know how to respond to mistruths other than simply bury them. It is very easy for us to do that. So every organization, regardless whether it's the commission or a consumer group or an individual, you need to dig in and get all the facts if it is going to weigh on your decisions. I do ask that we stay away from a guilty until proven innocent mentality. This is not scorched earth. And I've already mentioned that I cannot commit to 100% satisfaction 100% of the time, nor do I think any of you can to your organizations you work for, your families, anybody. We can't do that as humans. We err. We make mistakes. And to piggyback on your comment about safety, Nancy, we were scheduled to install a log saw, which will add about 35% efficiency to our line. It's missing a 6x6 inch guarding that if you reached with the longest of arms, you might be able to hit a pinch point. Because that one piece was gone, the guys that we had in from Green Bay flew home today instead of installing that machine. So I can tell you firsthand that safety is a top-down culture of our organization.
That's terrific.
And it always will be.
I want to go on record, then we can wrap this. I want to go on record as saying I talked to Jeff Altman back in November when he announced the EEOC complaint at Outlook Nebraska. I talked to him privately. And I suggested to Mr. Altman at the time that before the Federation bites off more than it can potentially chew, that they strongly consider two words that I like to use. It's called structured negotiation. And he had told me that we've already done that and it didn't work. And okay, I can accept that I'm not a member of NFP and I don't know what they do, and that's fine, I can accept that. But I did tell him that, speaking on behalf of myself, and probably I could say the same thing for ACB, although I won't, but I couldn't support, without factual documentation, the litigation that was being undertaken by the Federation. And I want to go on public record as saying that ACB does not support it, and that if possible, I will be requesting a copy of the EEOC complaint to find out exactly what's in there.
Julie?
Yes.
I just have, if it's all right, I have one last comment, and it has nothing to do with the EEOC.
Okay.
And it's just, I'm sorry, ma'am, your name was Glenelle? Glenny, I apologize. You had said that the business of the board was things that, like, for instance, with Outlook Nebraska, employees that we directly put there. And I would only, my response to that would be, regardless of whether or not we had put this person there, at some point after the case is closed, I think this would be a question for Pearl or for Carlos, but some point after the case is closed, you know, our responsibility and involvement with that employee in the business at some point ends, somewhere after case closure, you know, it's then a relationship between the employee and the employer. Is that correct, Carlos?
Correct.
Okay. But how a business treats their employees, and I'm not saying that you don't treat them fairly, I'm just saying that in general, how a business treats their employees is of concern to the commission if it's an employer that we generally place clients at. So regardless of whether or not how they're treating employees that we place there versus their other employees, I don't think that there's a difference.
That still doesn't, if the commission didn't place them there, the commission has nothing to do. When I was younger, my first marriage, we had our own business. Would you have come in and told me who I could hire and who I could fire?
No, but what I was saying...
But even if they were visually impaired, would you, if they had done something really wrong, would you have come in as a board, come in and told me that I couldn't do it?
Ma'am, what I'm saying is that because we do place clients there...
Who's we? The board?
The commission.
Commission?
The commission.
Well, now, do you work for the commission?
I do not. I'm
it's not we.
Yes, because he is a board
represent,
member.
I represent the commission on the Board of Commissioners.
Okay.
Because we as the commission place clients there, it is of concern to us how an employer treats their employees. Concerns or Carlos, go ahead. I think you can say it better than I can.
I work a lot with counselors, yes, in the field and with other businesses, okay? If I go to the Marriott Hotel and I hear that they're mistreating or somebody's being mistreated, I'm not saying that person is. I just hear that, okay? Because I don't know until I go there. We are the commission for the blind. So we are compelled to go and trying to find out. Now, whether or not the employer will listen to us is different. But we do have business with any employer, anybody that we think is going to improve the life of the blind.
As a commission?
As a commission, correct.
That's what I'm saying. But this is the NFB that's doing it.
Well, okay, but that's there's so many things going on here, and they all overlap.
Yeah.
What I guess as the chairperson of the board, the NFB, just like any other public entity, can submit whatever comments they choose. Now, what we do with those is another issue. Totally. But this whole involvement with the board and Outlook Nebraska began when blind individuals contacted the chairperson, who was then Nancy, directly and said, help us. That's why we became involved. That's where it began. The NFB and their complaint or filing
EEOC
with the EEOC
charge
there. Okay, that's the correct term. Thank you. That's their business. And no, the board does not have anything to do with that other than they felt that they wanted to share what they're doing. And that's information for information's sake.
Yep.
So we don't have anything to do with that, though.
No.
Yeah. And I think it is important that the commission and the commission board and other people know what's going on in the blind community. That's part of what the commission is about, you know, all blind people. So it's important we know what's going on.
Okay, Howard?
One short last comment. It's a question to each and every one of you that sit on this commission board.
has this letter from the NFB swayed you in any manner to make a decision about any practice that NCBBI or your board has with Outlook Nebraska?
No.
No.
For me,
no.
We don't really have the power to make a lot of decisions.
See, and that's exactly.
Just fact finding and no, I mean, I knew about it before. I just, you know, we had heard that there was some legal.
I think it's only important that we know about it. As far as us doing anything about it or helping the NFB or whatever, that's not our role.
No.
On the commission board at all.
The bottom line is, clients have the choice to work wherever they want to work. If a client wants to work at Outlook Nebraska, then it is the agency's job to support their employment choice. It's all about choice. There's not even a decision up for voting. Today's meeting is a follow-up to where we started a year ago when employees there said, this is going on and we want your help. The board became involved to assist them in advocating for what they needed at Love Nebraska. So what Eric is talking about today with the machines that announce, you know, what's going on and the different adaptations, those are, I would like to believe, but probably, those come from things that were going on a year ago. You know, they were saying there's no room for advancement because the blind people can't use these machines. Well, that's been addressed.
Right.
You know, Eric is saying we now have machines, there's room for advancement, you can train on these things. So that's it. I mean, there's no motion put forward. There's no decision that we're making.
We can't.
There's no decision to be made.
Nope.
Yes, Bob?
Yeah, I just want to say, too, that I think that a lot of times when public comments are brought, whether it's verbal or written, it's not always with the purpose of trying to persuade or sway the board. It might simply be to get something into the public record. You know, I think the letter, if the intent was to persuade, the letter would have been stronger if there had been additional documentation and validation of statements. But I think basically what's happening here is something is being introduced into the record. And I will also say, too, that oftentimes people will use the occasion of the public comments to say inflammatory things. You know, sometimes insensitive or intolerant things. You know, and I've been appalled. And I've sometimes taken things personal. You know, and I feel things have been misrepresented. And I think this, and it's difficult to hear things like that. It doesn't happen very often. I'm thankful for that. But frankly, there is no way we can police what comes in as far as public comment. You know, we really need to make sure that anybody who has a statement has the has access to a form, you know. So, you know, I guess a part of the discussion I think is the reaction to the letter, you know. But frankly, there's nothing that the board I feel can do to prevent a letter like this coming in.
Nope.
You know, regardless of how substantiated it is. You know, any criticism as far as the writer is concerned should go back to the is more a reflection on the writer. But not the board. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Right.
Madam Chairman, it's
11:40. Yes.
Lunchtime.
Okay.
If
one final closing comment?
Please,
yes,
because
yes,
I,
go ahead.
There are a few things that were brought up that I think are important to respond to. First of all, a very valid question. Did it sway? I mean, to me, that letter specifically asks you to keep this letter in your thoughts as you make decisions about Outlook Nebraska. So therefore, it is an attempt to sway, very clearly.
Well, but Eric, there's a problem with that logic because there's no decision to be made.
I understand.
So I
that.
Don't know what
there are
what
future
decision
there are future decisions to be made, and there have been decisions made in the past. I wanted to just make
not
one,
by the board.
I wanted to make one quick comment about a job fair in October of 2008, in which we were asked to not attend at the 11th hour because of these complaints. Now, if it is truly an employee's choice, we should be allowed to represent our organization just as if any other organization. I don't know many companies that have never had an EEOC complaint lodged, nor had a dissatisfied employee at any given time. Again, I go back to not using guilty till proven innocent as your method. So there was a decision that I believe was made by the Board of Commissioners, or it was put to you, and not all of you, because some of you weren't seated at that point. To allow us to represent our company at this job fair. And we were asked not to. So there are decisions that have been made based on the NFB's actions.
Carlos, he said the job fair was in October of 2008.
I believe it was October,
it was
November.
February of 2009.
February of 2009, okay.
Here at the DoubleTree, yeah.
Okay.
And Eric, I did serve on that board.
Excuse me?
When was the EEOC complaint filed?
When was it filed?
After that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes, it was after that.
So it's not related.
Well, it is related because
actually, we were told that there was some litigation involved.
Yeah.
So there was something that already going on.
It was in process. It was in process.
It was in process, but it had so not been filed. No. There was an investigation going on.
I will admit, Eric, I was one of the ones that that voted to not allow you folks to participate. And then I realized, you know what? We got it wrong. We, as a board, made a decision based on on something that was brought to our attention. In my view, and this is my view only, my view, that we didn't have all the facts we probably should have had. And I will go on public record and apologize for my vote. Because we should not have, we should have let you come in and participate, and then looked at all the facts and then made a decision based on that.
I appreciate the apology, although not, it is what it is.
Well,
we can move on past that. I just want to reiterate that our doors are 100% open. So if anybody ever comes to you and says that they do not have access to us, please challenge that. Whether it's personally or whether it's giving a phone call, they're always open. I mean, I do ask that people at least schedule. We're all busy, and we all have daily work to be done. I don't wait for someone to simply come in. I go about driving forward Outlook Nebraska. So, but our doors are open, and I will guarantee you, if you went one by one through our organization, you will find that many more sighted, blind, management, hourly employees, it does not matter. Many more are highly satisfied with where Outlook Nebraska is today than they are not.
After the week I had teaching, I might be there Monday.
I'll be there Tuesday because it's been a crappy week for me, too.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming, Eric.
No problem at all.
Okay, I think that we will conclude the morning session and move on to lunch. We will reconvene at 12:30 as scheduled for our focus topic. Thank you.